The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. It is on page 93 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Allow me to read the words of God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Amen. When I was in college, the missions organization I was a member of held a fasting retreat at the end or the beginning of the year. It lasted for 3 nights and 4 days, starting from the dinner of the first day to the dinner of the third day, ending the fast with a porridge for breakfast on the last day. So actually, we had fasted for 7 meals. Fasting for 7 meals, the fourth meal was the hardest for me. So starting from the dinner of the first day, it is the dinner of the second day. As I laid down to sleep, things I wanted to eat would appear in front of my eyes, such as jjajangmyeon, noodles in black sauce, jjampong, spicy seafood noodles, and fish cakes. There was a year when I went to the retreat place with my friends, and I ate a bowl of udon for lunch. But it tasted weird. The food had not gone bad, but it smelled like gasoline, so I could not finish about half of it. On the second evening of the retreat, I laid down and could not sleep well because I was hungry. Suddenly, I remembered the bowl of udon I had not finished, and I regretted not having finished it when I had the chance. So starting from the retreat after that, I fasted both breakfast and lunch of the first day of departure. Then, the fourth meal became the breakfast of the second day. I ended up fasting for 9 meals, but it became much easier to endure. One day, it was the last night of the fasting retreat. All meetings had ended, and we were excited to eat the porridge for breakfast the next day. As I stepped outside of my room to go to the restroom, I heard noises from the room next door. It sounded like they were eating something. I knew people in the room, so I knocked and found that they were having a snack party. The clock showed that we had passed midnight. Since it was a new day, the fasting time had been completed, so they argued that they were eating. I found out later that it was not in just that room, but in other rooms as well. They said the snacks they ate at that time were so tasty. However, I thought it was even more admirable to bring snacks to the fasting retreat and keep patience to wait until then to eat it. If we forget what fasting is and what is the purpose of fasting, then it is easy to be absorbed by the fact that you fasted and take pride in it. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 testifies how Jesus spoke about the false spiritual discipline of Jewish people and about their fasting. He said in verses 16 to 18, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." At the time, people who fasted grew their hair and beard to indicate, "I'm feasting now, so I cannot eat. Please do not offer me food." They also painted their face with white powder. In the beginning, they truly meant it, but over time, it became hypocritical, and they were showing off. Spiritual discipline needs to be about their inner character, but they tried to show off their external appearance. So people thought messy hair, rundown face, and weak posture were appearances of spiritual discipline. However, Jesus spoke towards such people and said that they have received their reward. It literally means that they have received the receipt. Thus, regardless of their spiritual discipline, they have already been given the, they had already received the receipt, so they will get no reward in the kingdom of God. According to the Old Testament, the day commanded by God to fast is once a year, July 10th, the Day of Atonement. However, Israelites also fasted on other days whenever they faced national crisis. In the days of the New Testament, they began to fast more frequently and it became customary. So the Pharisees fasted twice a week. In Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 13, it says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" At the time, Pharisees fasted on Thursdays and Mondays because Moses went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments on Thursday and came down on Monday. Pharisees, who took pride as disciples of Moses, followed Moses and fasted twice a week. In fact, that was just a superficial reason, and there was another practical reason. The market was open on those days, and more people gathered. So they used those days of the week to show off that they are fasting. They messed up their hair and painted their face to be white to look pale. They wore ragged clothes and left them to touch the ground as they called upon, "Oh God." Jesus spoke against such false way of fasting. Jesus did not speak against fasting itself, but about the false disposition they had about fasting. There is another false perception we have about fasting. Korean Christians are used to the phrase fasting prayer. However, this is mentioned only once in the Bible. And most of the time, only fasting is mentioned, and sometimes fasting and prayer are mentioned together. The same content of today's scripture is also covered in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, and verses 1 to 2 says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." Of course, Jesus probably prayed as he fasted for 40 days. However, the Bible says that he fasted and does not say that he took up fasting prayer, because fasting and prayer may mean the same thing, but how we pursue them cannot be the same. We can probably fast and pray for about 3 days. However, as a week passes by, it is really difficult to pray while sitting down. If you fast about 4 to 5 meals, it is as if your belly is stuck to your back and your entire body feels like a magnet being pulled down to the floor. There are people who go on long-term fasting to protest for political or social cause. They do not shout as they fast because they don't have any energy. They are mostly lying down as they fast. Since they are fasting with their life on the line, the act has power than any other strategy, but they actually do not have any physical strength. If there are people who fast for 40 days, drinking water and eating a bit of salt, then they need a helping hand after 20 days. Someone needs to help him wash his face, hands and feet, and also his way to the restroom. If there is a problem, then he needs to be taken to the hospital right away. Moreover, there are people who think that fasting is the quickest way to receive an answer from God. It is as if children have their own requests, but when God does not allow it, they think that God will have to answer them, as children starve to ask their parents to listen to their needs. However, no such promise has been made in the Bible. This is not a proper attitude of faith, and rather shamanistic thought. So the most important meaning of fasting is not eating no food or receiving a quick response, but actually to confess the one who guides my life, the one who takes care of my life as a child of God, and the one that will fulfill the plan of God is only God. If something is achieved through fasting, it is to confess, God has done so, not me. To pray is the same as to fast. When David did not go to the battle he should have gone, he walked on the roof of his castle in the evening and saw a woman bathing. David knew that lady as Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, his general, but still slept with her. Then she became pregnant. David tried to rationalize his sin and led Uriah to death in battle. Later, he took in Bathsheba as his wife. She gave birth to a baby who became ill. David then fasted all night and prayed. Aged servants tried to make David stand up, but he wouldn't move. On the seventh day, the baby died. Servants were afraid to tell David the truth. If he was fasting so earnestly when the baby was sick, they thought David would be even more dejected if the baby died. So no one was willing to tell him the truth. David figured out what had happened and asked servants to know the truth. They told him that his son had died. David stopped fasting, cleaned up himself, and changed his clothes, went to God's temple to worship, and then returned to the palace and ate food. Servants were surprised and asked, "You were refusing to eat and was gloomy when the prince was alive. Now that he died, you're eating. Why so?" David replied, "When the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." David knew the true meaning of fasting. True fasting is not to think that there is no prayer that will not be answered if I fast, but rather that the life and death of the baby is in the hands of God. So one fasts not to accomplish something, but to express that everything is in the hands of God. Today's scripture also testifies about Jesus' fasting, verse 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Jesus, as he began his public ministry, was baptized at the Jordan, and later was led by the Holy Spirit to the wilderness and fasted there for 40 days. The Bible has many events related to the number 40, which signifies the duration to prepare for some event. God poured rain for 40 days in the time of Noah to renew the world. When Israelites waited to enter the land of Canaan after Exodus, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Moses spent 40 days and nights to receive the Ten Commandments in Mount Sinai. So Jesus' 40 days of fasting was the best and greatest preparation for his public ministry. Jesus began his public ministry with fasting, and that signifies he came to earth not to fulfill his purpose, but to fulfill the will of God. 3. Testing from the devil is not the will of God, but rather the devil was trying to lure Jesus to fulfill his will, and instead of following God's strategy, to use the devil's own method. However, Jesus never asked to fulfill his own will from beginning to the end. Even when he had to bear the cross, he asked for God's will, not his will. The Lord asked for God's will even when his body was taken apart on the cross. Today is New Year's Sunday. As I have told you on the midnight service of the New Year, the verse of the year for our church is Lift Up My Eyes from Psalm chapter 121, verse 1. 15 Psalms from 120 to 134 have the same title, Songs of Ascent. God commanded Israelites to celebrate 3 important festivals by going up to the temple to worship. And they are the songs pilgrims sang on their way up. The poet sings in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. At the time, people in the Middle East worshipped many pagan idols, and they thought many of these gods live in the mountains. So priests of many religions worshipped along the hills or built shrines on the hills for sacrificial rites. At those shrines, male and female priests made sacrifices for abundance and fertility, and also sold medicine and charms, claiming to prevent disasters. Pilgrims that know this were singing as they went up to the Jerusalem temple. I lift my eyes towards many shrines along the hills. Which God can help me? Can the God of all look after my life? Or will the Queen Asherah bring abundance to my life? Or will the priests of the sun god provide help for my life journey? Or will the teachings of female followers of the moon god give meaning to my life? So to lift up my eyes towards the mountain is not merely lifting up my head, but to look towards the temple and towards God who guides us and works in our lives. God also promises to protect his children who lift up their eyes to him by not falling asleep or slumber. Parents want to protect their children. They will do anything in their power, or if possible, even beyond their power, to keep them safe. However, parents cannot protect their children, especially when they need to. They are unable to. They are unable to keep them because they don't know their children's situation exactly. And even if they know, they are unable to, since parents are people with limits. So it is amazingly hopeful to know that God promises us to protect us. Moreover, God will be the shade in our lives and promises to protect us from the sun of day and mood of night. The protection against the sun of day and moon of night means that God will protect us from not only the heat and cold, but also our physical and mental health. Also, God promises to protect His people from difficulties and coming and going for eternity. He will protect us in our mundane lives as we go to work in the morning and return home at night. He will also protect our pilgrimage of faith from the beginning to the end. And most of all, He will protect us as we take in our first breath as we are born until the last breath. And even after we die, He promises us to protect us. COVID-19 has hit the entire world in the past 2 years, and it also changed how the church operates. Offline meetings were the norm, but now virtual meetings are the norm. However, it does not mean that we are deciding everything by not seeing anything. Instead, the desire to see has increased even more. As online meetings became the norm and many things could be done online, Metaverse has come closer to us. First, we thought it was related to games and the entertainment industry, but it will touch upon many parts of our lives. Metaverse is a combination of meta, which refers to transcendence, and virtual, and universe, which is the space or the world. And it is used to refer to augmented virtual world comprised of physical reality and virtual reality. The world depicted in movies such as Avatar or Matrix is metaverse. Moreover, when one uses Facebook, KakaoTalk, or YouTube, they are also participating in the metaverse through such social media services. In the past, television was the best channel to introduce a new product or service, whether it be clothing, bags, cars, or entertainment. Gradually, the channel changed to the internet, YouTube, and now to Metaverse platform. Moreover, music fans could not go to concerts anymore due to COVID-19, and singers started to hold concerts in Metaverse. So BTS showed their dance for the song Dynamite through a metaverse called Fortnite, a game. Also, Travis Scott, an American singer, also held a concert in the same metaverse where 12.3 million people logged in simultaneously to watch. If he had held a concert in person in the World Cup Stadium in Mapo-gu District of Seoul, which can sit 66,000 people, then it would be the same as if he held a concert 186 times with full audience. This concert resulted in a tenfold profit compared to an on-site concert. This year, and in years following, metaverse and related industries will grow in size, so many firms and people will enter the metaverse industry. Then it will bulge into our lives much deeper than now. Church will also be influenced by metaverse. In the past, we had to prepare for a place to worship, infrastructure, audio systems, chairs, and others to prepare for worship. We cannot emphasize how important it is to have people to worship together. But even if we don't have such space or infrastructural support, we can start now in a virtual space. Traditionally, it was common for people to register at a church not far from where they live and close to their home. However, now it is not rare to find that a person living in Seoul attends a church in another area and people living outside of Seoul to attend a church in Seoul. A person living in Korea can now even become a member of a church abroad, and someone living in another country could become a member of a church in Korea. It is said that there are four areas of metaverse. One is augmented reality, which shows physical reality and virtual objects together, such as Pokemon Go. And second is live logging using social networking service such as Facebook or YouTube. Third is the mirror world, where we gain real-time data about various parts of the world using satellite images, as in Google Earth. Last is the virtual world, where the user uses avatar to depict a world similar to reality or a totally different world. People are political beings, so as time passes, people will be absorbed in the metaverse. Since I can know what someone is doing now and what he liked a little earlier without meeting him. It also helps me to confirm it with my eyes. I can also go to a concert of my favorite singer or the recital of my favorite performer, and I can check the product I'm interested in where I'm sitting without visiting the store, and I can build new relationships with new people. Since I can do and check all of this with my eyes, it becomes even more interesting. Then if metaverse improves by one-fold or tenfold, then would our lives also improve by one-fold or tenfold? As one falls deeper into the metaverse, and as their lives in the metaverse becomes magnified, then would their inner character become deeper and wider? No, it is likely that the exact opposite is realized. Even now, photos and videos on Facebook and Instagram are prone to be a beautified version of themselves rather than showing a real depiction. As the environment in metaverse continues to grow, the room for people's character to deteriorate may become larger. The Bible clearly says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Instead of paying attention to what is seen, it is important to lift up our eyes to God, who is unseen. So, as the influence of metaverse increases, the role of the church becomes even more important. Jesus did not eat for 40 days in the wilderness and lifted up his eyes towards God. It was to reaffirm that he will look towards God as he sets out for his public ministry and that he will obey the will of God. The testing from the devil was to lure him to lift his eyes not towards God, but towards the world. Also, the devil took Jesus and showed the entire world in an instant. Where could you go to see the entire world? Could you see it from the top of Mount Hermon, the highest mountain in Israel, at 2,814 meters altitude, and also the most important source of water in Israel? Or could you see the entire world from Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world, at 8,848 meters? What the devil showed Jesus was an image. To explain in today's terms, it was the metaverse. However, Jesus lifted up his eyes and paid attention to God only. God allowed us to enter the time of 2022. Currently, our country faces many challenges, such as financial problems and social conflicts, which do not seem to have easy solutions. Moreover, the presidential election in March and local elections in June are ahead of us, so candidates are using exaggeration, patronage, mutual invective, and taking sides. In such circumstances, we Christians have the responsibility to make a church, to be like a church, and to live as the salt and light of the world. As we look at various parts of our society, 2022 does not seem to be a hopeful year. Nevertheless, we will welcome year 2022 in hope because we believe that this year will be a new year by lifting up our eyes towards God, who does not let us slip, nor does God sleep or slumber to protect us. So this year, may we all become people who lift up our eyes following this year's Bible verse. When we do so, our new year will be transformed into a truly new year, and we will become instruments of God to renew the world. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us that the true meaning of fasting is not to physically fast, nor to show off to people. Thank you for also reminding us that fasting is not to receive a quick prayer response. The true meaning of fasting is to take God as the purpose of our life, as God is the true guide of our lives and the one who takes care of our lives, so that we can live as the children of God. The Son of God, Jesus, did not need to fast, but he started his public ministry by fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. He lifted up his eyes to see God's will and obeyed God's will. May we not trust ourselves, but only God in our lives, so that we follow the true meaning of fasting. Thank you for giving us the Bible verse, "Lift up my eyes," to our church in 2022. The world tries to lure us with attractive secular values. It also whispers to us that what is seen is more eternal than what is unseen. Wherever we stand, may we lift up our eyes towards God. So may we live through the grace of God, who does not slumber nor sleep, guards us from the sun of day and moon of night, and protects our coming and going from beginning to the end. We hope that you will use us as instruments to renew our families, workplaces, and society. So may this year be truly a new year for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.